Welcome to the Iced Tea Podcast, the podcast where we spill the tea on figure skating. My name is Megan.
I'm Netta. Hi, Megan. How are you doing?
I'm great. We're in the same room. Woo! We just spent an hour sound checking, and Netta's like, this is the loudest I'll get. And then 4 seconds in.
Woo! I'm just very excited. It's weird to ask you how you're doing because we're roommates.
I know exactly how you're doing.
Tell me about it anyway.
I feel great. The sound person in me is like nervous because we're trying a new thing, so we probably sound a little different than usual, but we're in the same room, we're using the same mic, and hotel rooms are not soundproofed, and that's what it is. It's better because we are together. Yeah. And that's what matters.
Yeah. This is an episode that we're doing, which is raw and uncut and emotional. We're gonna talk about the team event while things are still very unclear.
Yeah, so as of time of recording, so it's currently 2:51 p.m. Germany time on Wednesday the 9th, right?
Yes.
Yes, yeah, I've become unmoored from time and space also. We, as of right now, know that there is a delay on the medal ceremony of the team event because Russia has some sort of legal trouble that is allegedly, according to anonymous source, doping related. We've heard, again, it's like, is an anonymous source confirmed? Not really, but like, apparently it's one of the skaters, which means it would either, I don't know, we don't know enough about ice dance and pairs to be able to say, like, if one is doping, then is the other one not doping? So I guess it would make sense if it was a single skater, but like, I guess it could be anyone. We really don't know the details, but it's fucking crazy. So we were gonna record like a main feed episode today. And then
we can't because the story is still developing. So we were like, what if we just tell the good people of Patreon how we feel about things and also just like talk about the team event as it happened? Because it did happen.
It did happen regardless of like what the outcome was. And typically we like, you know, edit our episodes, and this is not going to be one of those like well-edited episodes. So it's just going to be a nice raw experience for you.
Yeah, this is it.
We're raw and uncut in this hotel room right now.
We do have the do not disturb sign on our door. And if anyone walks past, we are very much just recording a thing in a hotel room. So, like, do with that as you will.
Turn the gain down a tiny bit. See, usually I would edit that out, but
let's talk about the team event.
Okay, we just have to be careful not to laugh right into the mic. So yeah, let's talk about the team event. Where to begin? Literally where to begin?
Let's do the top four because that might be our podium.
Right. So, well, okay. Canada.
Canada has had a time in this team event. We all know they went in wanting to defend some shit, but their team is looking very different compared to 4 years ago, which has made things hard. And honestly, my one take is that Maddie Skazas deserves 17 Olympic medals.
I agree, and I think, like, the other drama there, which is, like, it feels like a million years ago because it's not the drama of today, was that Keegan had been delayed getting there and only got there like the day before the men's individual short. So there was a lot of pressure on Roman, and Roman's having a bad time, and we hate to see it.
I think it's completely justified for Roman to be having a bad time because he's been not doing things internationally for like years because of the pandemic and stuff. And then it's like, okay, now it's international. Also, it's the Olympics. Also, you're the only guy. Also, fucking figure it out. And I feel like that's a lot of pressure.
Yeah. I was saying earlier, like, I think that the thing to take away from this regarding Roman is that this is just, like, going to be the launch pad for his storyline for the next, like, Olympic quad. And that in the same way that Nathan was, like, the comeback kid this time, Roman's going to have to be the comeback kid next time.
So what you're saying is Roman fucking medalist 2026.
Sure.
Why the fuck not?
Why the fuck not?
Especially if they raise like cage minimums and shit.
Right? Yeah.
Much to consider.
We also actually watched Ice Dance in pairs. We're kind of trying to just watch as much skating as we can at the Olympics, even though we don't understand all of it.
Yeah, it's been so much fun to actually watch everything in the team event. I'm going to be honest, when it's any other competition, I don't usually always watch.
Yeah.
Ice Dance in pairs, mostly because pairs makes me so very scared.
Yeah. Yeah, and, like, there's been so many collisions, and it's just, like, bleh.
We talked about, though, in private, about how in our Primer episodes, we were like, there's no rivalries, this squad. Everyone's just buddies. And then...
And then we're like, we forgot about Canada and the pairs.
Yes, we're still talking about Canada. There you go.
We are, yeah. So, like, Radford James... I don't know, man. Like, we were trying to sort of explain, like, what the drama is there. And, like, I don't know. Like, is it worth trying to explain it here? Or do you think the people know?
I feel like the people know enough.
Enough. But I love Megan Duhamel being mad shady. It's like, it brings me comfort, I will say, that I can know that I am never going to be the shadiest Megan on figure skating Twitter.
Oh, that's good for you. I'm very glad for that. Yeah, I think some of my favorite, like, C-plots of this Olympics has been people who are no longer competing, just bringing the shade, namely Megan Duhamel, and also Javi, straight up on Spanish Eurosport, just having so many opinions.
Apparently he, like, texted Stefan and was like, Dennis was robbed!
That was for Euros, I think, but, like, he brought it up now.
Oh, he did? Okay.
Yeah. But also, like, him, like, being shady about Morrissey, and just having Javi have the opinions that he was having in that one beautiful day at Euros when he knew he was gonna win, but he was salty because he was third after the short. Like, knowing that this is the next part of his career trajectory, delightful to me, personally.
Absolutely delightful. Yeah, we have had an interesting time with commentary because... So we're in Germany, and the reason we're in Germany is because my sister lives here, and I had plans to visit her anyway, and then I was going to go to Bulgaria, and we were going to watch the Olympics at Netta's, but travel restrictions made it so that, for some reason, the only place we could actually be in the same country was Germany, so Netta came here, and thank you to you guys for your support for making that fiscally possible.
Yes. Oh my God, if you're listening to this, it means that you've literally made this happen for us. So thank you very much.
Yeah, we love you so much. And we've been struggling with trying to find the commentary that works for us because it's like we eventually got Netta's Eurosport back because sometimes they have what's called ambient sound, which is just no commentary.
Yeah, and it's delightful.
BBC has been a mixed bag. BBC is what we get on our hotel TV, and it's sometimes great, like that one BBC guy who went the fuck off on the Russian ice dancers.
Yeah. Yeah, he was, I think that was one of the, like, regulars, not Simon, but the other one. But for once, I was very much agreeing with him. He was like, well, if you just look at this, it has none of the difficulty, and it's all boring, and we all know they're gonna score well, but there you go. And it was just... very fun.
Yeah, the other commentator was kind of like, oh, okay.
Yeah, we also did end up watching the ladies free of the team event, right? With Portuguese commentary, because we didn't care enough.
Well, because we knew that whatever commentary we were going to hear was going to be very, like, Russian bootlicky, and... we were cranky because it was the middle of the night, and between the two of us, we actually understand almost every language, so we had to really try to find one that we didn't know, and Portuguese is, like, it's similar to French, and so if I try really hard to understand it, I can, but I was just, like, I'll just, like, hear it as ambient sound.
Yeah. So we've been having this adventure in addition to everything else that's been going on, but that's the team event.
Yeah, so Canada, we also have to talk. I mean, we didn't really talk about Vanessa and Eric, but, like, also we kind of described them as the villains of
the season.
Of the season to a friend of ours. And it sucks, but it just is the case. So were we like watching like, oh my God, we really hope they do really well? No, we were neutral parties. Now, the ice dance, Piper and Paul, fucking iconic.
I would marry both of them today, if they asked.
Mm-hmm.
We can have a nice three-way wedding. I think everyone would be very happy. We can all wear like beautiful like mango orange, you know?
Yeah. One thing about this event, or every event at this Olympics primarily happening in the middle of the night local time for two jet-lagged people who are jet-lagged in like opposite directions, is that we keep like saying things and then not remembering why the next day. And one of the main refrains of this for us has been "Hold me closer, tiny Paul Poirier." And I, like, gun to my head, could not tell you the origin
of that. How we arrived there,
I know I said it or sang it. I don't know why. I mean, like, you would think, like, oh, because they skate to Elton John. No, that's a coincidence. It's not because of that.
Yeah, no, it just happened, but I think I stand by it. I have a friend who, Piper and Paul were her favorite skaters, like, ever of all time. And a couple of seasons back, I was like, okay, like, I get, like, I respect that for you, but, like, tell me why? And now, anytime I watch them, first of all, I think of her, and secondly, I'm like, oh, because they're awesome. Like, I get it.
Yeah, I believe when we were skating, or when they were skating, I was astral projecting and pretending to be them. When they were skating, Netta just went, this is what having a tiny little mustache can do for you.
Yeah, and I, again, stand by that. I think everyone should grow a tiny little mustache and take care of their beautiful hair and wear beautiful, fresh colors and see where that takes them.
Yeah, they're just fantastic and gorgeous and amazing. And they've always been kind of like one of the few ice dance couples that I'm like, yes, Stan, even though I don't really get what they're doing. just because they're great. They have great energies. And das ist die Benchmark. Oh, God, do we have to explain that?
Yes, you have to explain that.
So at some point in our commentary journey, like early on, we were watching German commentary on the hotel TV. And the German commentator was fantastic. And fantastische, as he would say. And at one point, someone did really well, and he just went, das ist die Benchmark! And we've just been saying it about everything, because it's...
Because das ist die Benchmark.
Because das ist die Benchmark. Like, there you go. So that's Canada.
That's Canada. Coming in third, we have Team Japan, which is delightful, because it means a lot of very good people are now Olympic medalists.
Yes. I think the big thing for a lot of people was, like, why would you put Wakaba in the short and Kaori in the free when...
Yeah.
Sort of the other way around would make more sense from at least, like, a fan favorite perspective. But, I mean...
The thing is, I can understand it. Like, I would have loved to see the opposite programs. But I can understand it because Kaori is so consistently... just very solid in the free, where there's arguably more margin for error, maybe, in this context. So I can understand why. But also, both of them are now Olympic medalists, and I can't complain one way or the other about that.
No, totally. Like, it was very strategic. I think that Kaori is, like, generally very strong in the free. Wakaba, were she to be put in the free, it would be because they would want her to try the triple axel, and I think it was smart of them to not... have her do that. Likewise, Maddie Skizis, because if you didn't have a chance of ranking higher than America or Russia, there's no point in, like, tiring your skaters out needlessly.
Yeah, mathematically, I think those were the smartest choices that were made. And both of them skated just so, so, so well. And I'm fucking thrilled. I don't know why we're acting as though Team Japan is just women. But, like, I stand by it, I think.
Yeah, they did Shoma in the short and Yuma in the free.
Yes.
At first, I was, like, kind of pressed that Shoma had to go in for the short when Stefan wasn't there, because he had given interviews saying that he skates better when Stefan's there, but Stefan made it, and Shoma did beautifully, so, like...
Maybe that's, like, part of his journey. The, like, A-plot of this quad was knowing that he does have a coach, but having to do an event coachless.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you, the real magic shoes was you the whole time. The real Stefan Lumbiel was inside you the whole time. No, don't.
No,
no,
no.
Given all the shitty opinions about the two of them and stuff, I should not say that. But whatever, it's Patreon. We're all chill here. And we love the Japanese pair, obviously, Mira and fucking A. This is where we edit out the part of me, like, completely forgetting everyone's name because I'm exhausted. Even though it's right in front of me. And that would be Riku Miura and Ryuichi Kihara. And they're always really good. They're actually, like, one of my favorites all the time.
You know what I want to bitch about real quick is something that we did watch with the British commentary was Misato and Tim's Memoirs of a Geisha, which the person was like, oh, they have such a solid theme, but they're not, like, running with it enough. And, like, this is not on theme.
Yeah, they kept saying it could have been to any music. And I'm like, what did you want? Because it was so clear that, like, what they wanted was, like, kung fu moves and, like, embarrassing racist shuffling around. Like, what the fuck did you, like, what do you think a geisha moves like?
Yeah, first of all, the costumes tell enough of a story. Secondly, like, if you watch Misato's, like, hand gestures, there is a lot of, like, nods to, like, traditional, like, hand movement. And I do not know. I mean, I do know what they wanted, and it's deeply British of them, but, like,
I mean, if there are people who are, like, watching skating and being like, well, if you're gonna skate to this country's music, I want to see this country's traditional stupid hand movements that I think are traditional. And then I'm like, okay, well, it makes sense then why that's kind of still a part of the sport then, if that's actively being looked for.
But, yeah.
I mean, it shouldn't be.
Yeah, I just thought that was, like, really infuriating. And it was, like, a very continuous rant about it. It was just confusing to me.
Team Coco deserves the world. I don't even fucking care.
Yes, correct.
I'm just glad they're there.
Same. And looking beautiful and skating gorgeously, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the silver medal team, as of right now, is Team USA.
Team USA, who did very, very good, given, like, the kind of circumstance of, like, kind of knowing that it was going to be silver or maybe bronze, like, kind of depending.
They really did give Russia a run for their money, considering the mistakes that were made there.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
like,
yeah.
Ice dance particularly.
Yeah, they worked very, very hard. I think everyone skated super well. God, I'm fully blanking on a thing I wanted to say. Oh, yeah. Vincent is an Olympic medalist, even though, God bless him, he cannot compete in the individual events because he got sick, which is sad.
Yeah, it's actually kind of bananas because, excuse me, because I think the original thought was that they were gonna try to switch out the women and not make Karen do the whole thing. Like, obviously, I think they were saving Alyssa because
she wasn't even there yet.
She wasn't even there yet. She was still quarantining and it's her first Olympics, whatever. The thought was maybe to put Mariah in for the free because it's, like, an iconic free and whatever, whatever. Karen ended up doing the whole thing because they just are constantly like, oh, we'll have Karen do it. Just if it went
in doubt. That's the whole thing, like, since the last Olympics is like, oh, we need someone to, like, show up for the team. We'll have Karen show up.
Yeah, seriously. And they ended up switching Nathan out. No, Nathan out for Vincent. So Nathan did the short, and it was this whole thing of, like, oh, the short program at the Olympics. Oh, no, Nathan. And I'm like, why are we still having this conversation? And then he went out there and he did it, and it was gorgeous, perfect, wonderful. And then, I mean, I say that. I don't know. Don't at me if there was, like, a turnout on a jump or something. I've now seen him compete that short program twice, and it was all in the middle of the
night. In a record-breaking way, hey.
Yeah, so then Vincent comes in for the free, does good, and I think there were questions around, like, why would they not keep Nathan in? And it's like, why would they tire Nathan out?
Yes.
Because he's their big hope for gold in the individual, and with Camila getting the Camila points, there was just no way that even Nathan staying in the whole time was going to mathematically get the U.S. the gold. So, like, why not? And it ended up working out well because, obviously, Vincent now can say, well, it's not his first Olympics, but he can say he competed on, like, Beijing Olympic ice. yeah. and has a medal, and it might be gold. Like, we don't even know. Definitely silver.
Definitely silver. Maybe potentially gold.
And we'll come back to Vincent in a minute, but I do want to acknowledge that the American pairs and ice dance also were stunning.
Oh, yeah. Always. Always. I'm having a Hubble Donahue moment because I really, really, really did not enjoy their programs last year. And this year I'm kind of like, wait a second, this is fun, which is great because it's always more fun to kind of root for everyone.
Yeah, this is maybe like a little bit like straight phobic of me, but I tend to not really like ice dance or pairs couples who just give off the vibe of like, we're in love and we're married and we're at our wedding and we're dancing at our wedding. And like, that was just always the vibe I got from them until now when they're like, Janet Jackson, yeah. And they're like little Black Parade costumes.
I'm obsessed with their Black Parade costumes. I enjoy their music. I desperately wish it were My Chemical Romance.
Oh God, I just got a Discord.
Was it you or was it me?
Oh, it was you.
It was me. There we go.
Well, we have friends, and I just want the listeners to know that we have friends that talk to us all the time, and we're super popular and cool.
And we're very hip, and we have Discords.
We have Discords. Yeah, and then they switched in for Maddie and Evan in the free, and it's just always the greatest thing. And I will come clean and admit that sometimes I think I have seen a program, and then I realize I've just Mandela affected myself into thinking I've seen it because I've seen pictures and heard people talk about it. I think this is actually the first time I've ever watched all the way through their alien program. And for some reason, I had
really?
It. Yeah, and I had it in my head for some reason that they were skating to the Katy Perry, Kanye West, E.T. and not Daft Punk. And we all know that I just completely lose my shit over Daft Punk.
No, that program is, yes, that program is amazing. I know people have been trying to make it a meme out of Evan's little crap hands and stuff. I think people who don't understand it, they're being biphobic.
I think people understand it. I don't know that I've seen anybody who thinks it's dumb and is trying to make it a meme at the expense of them.
Oh, you're on a nicer part of the internet than I am.
If you're not into the idea of like taking big swings and taking risks with ice dance, like I don't even know how to talk to you.
Yeah, see, I come from like a school of back in the early 2000s, like Denkov and Stavisky were doing like weird shit, like way back in that era. And I'm just kind of used to ice dance having weird themes in addition to like very much like, oh, we're married and we like staring into each other's eyes very longingly or whatever. I just think it's way more interesting to do something wild and with a cool theme than be like, and here's a love song and we're gonna move around to it now. Yay.
Well, yeah. And I think it's smart, right? Because, okay, like take this with a grain of salt because like I'm sure many of you guys know way more about ice dance than we do in terms of like the storylines. But from where I'm sitting, I always had that impression of Maddie and Zach as like the like heterosexual love story, traditional couple. And so if Maddie and Evan are like their main rivals and they even have the same name, obviously they need to brand themselves differently. And so if we're in this like Betty and Veronica situation, then yeah, like they're not going to do the same thing. Cause why would you do that? You want to differentiate yourself. And it's interesting to me that they started really succeeding. And now Maddie and Zach are like, oh, we have to do something that's not like two people out on a date.
Yeah. Also, yeah, I agree with everything you're saying. Also, the other thing I did want to say is Maddie Chalk's alien dress by Matthew Caron, gorgeous. She tweeted that she designed it, which is amazing. I was like, this is such a cool dress. It's like, it clearly tells the story, goes with the theme, blah, 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 blah. It's by such a good designer. Plot twist, he just made the dress. It's her design.
That's fucking incredible, and I would die for her. There's nothing she can't do on Earth, and maybe in space, too.
Especially in space. She's a space empress now, apparently.
I love to see that. Sorry, we are now taking a one-second break to look at Wikipedia. Knarriman Frazier.
Alexis Purple Dress.
Hold on, I'm moving the mic slightly away from you because when you talk about the color purple, it gets loud.
There you go. Alexis Purple Dress has changed my life. I know I just talked about like the very vanilla, like we're pretty and we're a couple and we're doing things kind of vibe of any pair sport. That dress, It's Alyssa McKinnon. Alyssa McKinnon posted a picture of it on, like, the mannequin on the dress form yesterday, and I spent a literal half hour of my life just zooming in and looking at it. It's so beautiful. It looks like lavender in a field. And I'm obsessed. You may bring the microphone back now. I'm done yelling.
I feel like it's fine. Yeah. I mean, do I, like, really care? Do I really care them? I don't know. I have always been, like, a little bit bored by, like, Alexa Kinnerham in general, which, like, don't at me. Maybe if I sat down and was, like, Clockwork Orange into watching her entire body of work, I would have a completely different opinion. But,
This is the second time this Olympics you've referred to something as getting Clockwork Oranged.
Yeah, I don't know what that is all about.
Are you doing okay?
I'm doing fantastic. But yeah, I mean, they obviously did really great. And like for a new pair, I don't know. I'm just bitter because I really liked Haven Denny. Was that her name with Brendan Fraser? I liked their Lion King. And so then when they broke up, I was like, no.
Yeah, it's always sad when pairs like shift around and stuff. But it's also very interesting to me in both pairs and Ice Dance, like how tight knit those like groups of people seem to be. Like they know each other's bullshit, which is always fascinating to me as a dynamic. We were watching a bunch of speed skating the other day and we were talking about the same thing because you would watch those people like really fucking go at each other, like physically competing, and then they like walk over and like are with each other being friends, which is always fun.
It is fun, and the only people who aren't friends are Eric Radford and everybody he keeps like stepping on by mistake.
Yeah, I wish the boys would have thrown punches. I think that would have been interesting.
Yeah, but like we have ended up with even more drama than we even anticipated. So I guess if we want to take a quick drama detour, I mean, Russia won, but like we don't know what's going on there. Like we said, there's like maybe doping rumors. And we in general don't really talk about the Atari team anyway. But obviously they won because of Camila. And it's been a little bit like, I don't know, honestly, like I want to be really clear that regardless of what happens with the doping stuff, obviously, we're not happy that people were, like, taking drugs at the Olympics, or especially if it was children being given drugs at the Olympics. We are happy because we have felt like there is clearly something cheating-y going on for a long time, and it's really validating to have someone finally fucking look into it.
Yeah, the very fact that we're having this delay right now is more than I could have hoped for. Already, like, regardless of the outcome of it.
Yeah, because literally, like, Camila skated, and then everybody, like, especially everyone's mom. It was so funny. I had this conversation with so many friends of, like, oh, my mom really loved her, and I had to ruin her day. of, like, people just loving her, and then kind of having to have things explained to them of, like, this is the context. And the fact that I didn't have to do – I only had to do that for a couple of days, and then they sort of, like – started saying the quiet part loud for me, and then I didn't have to do it anymore because now it's national news, international news.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy because, I mean, we've said it so many times, she's a lovely skater. It's insane to me that we're being given this, like, oh, she's a once in a generation, like, the queen of everything kind of narrative. Well, first of all, because I'm not buying it because I have eyes, and secondly, because we know it's not gonna like continue. Like the people who are saying this now are gonna start having to say that about someone else in like a year, and that's just hard to, it's kind of hard to live in the same reality as people who are like, this is the one and only for the next like 2 weeks.
Yeah, and if you really enjoy that aesthetic, like if just purely in a vacuum watching Camila do that skate in that dress with that technique and like movement style, and like you love that, cool. Like I don't, and I think that's part of why it irritates me. But if you really love that, like I'm not saying you shouldn't or like whatever, because I think everybody should have their own opinions on art in general. I think, okay, so here's what I want to say. I think our general, like, quote unquote boycott of talking about them isn't necessarily a boycott of talking about them. It's a boycott of praising them.
Yeah.
And so I feel comfortable devoting airtime to saying that I thought it was fucked up that she only landed 2 out of 3 quads. And then she looked really, really, really scared at the end, even though she had just made double history by landing a quad at the Olympics and then landing a second quad at the Olympics. And she looked like miserable afterwards. And it creeps me out that then the camera always cuts to the coaches and it's always the back of a Terry's head. Like, it's so sinister.
Yeah, the whole thing is just, like, if you know a little bit about it, it's kind of hard to watch at this point. And, like, some corners of the internet were sort of lightheartedly making the joke of, like, oh, she's scared because she knows that, like, there's going to be retaliation. Not, like, the joke, but, like, the observation, the quiet part out loud, if you will. And it's just, like, it's... We've been seeing so many skates from so many people across events who are like, they finish their skate and there is that moment of like being overwhelmed because you skated at the Olympics and you did really well or like whatever. And it's not hard for a person with any understanding of empathy to like know when it's like you're overwhelmed and you're happy and you're kind of like processing and when it's like, oh shit, I've made a mistake.
Yeah, and it particularly didn't make a lot of sense to me because it was the team event, and in context, I think of the team event like that joke that's like the two guys are running from a bear, and the one guy is like, I don't have to outrun the bear, I just have to outrun you, because yeah. It doesn't really matter how well you do as long as you do better than everyone else. And so she was always going to win the women's event. Like, there was no question because she did better than everyone else, and so it really super didn't matter. Like, it just... objectively in no way mattered whether she did perfect or not, other than just for the principle of the thing. And so that's why it was almost like equally fucked up. It didn't even matter or affect anything.
Yeah. Also, I hated Daniil's there.
Yeah, like, even if he didn't have COVID, like, why is he there? I thought the whole point was, like, let's not bring non-essential personnel.
Well, he is essential because he may or may not have, like, the half brain cell that entire team is using.
That's true. I wouldn't put it past him, but I have no idea. Anyway, Mark Kondratyuk also...
Made Normie Twitter. Good for him.
Made Normie Twitter with his Jesus program, which I feel like we're trendsetters for being kind of like, what the fuck is happening? And then...
Everyone in the world was like... Why is Twink Jesus wearing a crown of thorns as a neckline? What is happening at the Olympics? But I think it's... Honestly, I very much enjoy when, like, weird corners of what we do, like, year-round every year makes it to Normie Twitter. I think it's funny.
Yeah, because then... It's always really fascinating to me as, like, a person who everyone in my life knows me as, like, the figure skating geek who follows it very closely and knows the most about it out of anybody... else in our like circle. And so it's always interesting to me, like, what are the things that people text me about of like, I saw this and thought of you, what's going on? And I think the last time this happened was when was the Mr. Grinch routine from the it was Monica Wabe, I think. But don't at me. It was one of the Japanese skaters, and I just have no working brain cell right now. But that was the last time I think this happened, and then now it's the fucking Jesus, and I'm like, yeah, I'm aware of.
Yeah, we've seen Jesus. We've met Jesus. God. It's fine.
It will be really funny to me if the doping allegation came from Jesus. I don't think it did. I don't know anything, but it would just be funny because
just from a narrative point of view. Having Jesus be the one who's doing drugs is funny.
It just is. From like a, like, I'm an edgy 13-year-old who's like irreverent kind of perspective. And the
last time a friend, like before this, the last time a friend texted me just a program that they found was someone texted me Sasha Trusova is unstoppable. And I'm going to be honest with you. I started typing a response and I just opened my Discord chat with this person. I haven't said anything since. Because I just didn't want to ruin this man's life.
Yeah, that's honestly, sometimes it's kinder to just let people...
Enjoy things.
Enjoy it.
Yeah, because, like, in here, like, it's Sasha, so we know I'm going to have things to say about her training and stuff. And then she's skating to see us, so I'm going to have to say more things. It's just...
It's, like, a whole thing.
It's so much.
Exhausting.
Anyway, she hasn't skated at the Olympics yet, so we're not going to...
But the other, to bring her up. Yeah, the other thing with the ROC team event was Mishina and Galimov, who we actually really like.
I love Mishina. I think they're cool. Yeah, I have vague memories of, like, he might be one of the many dudes in there on the Russian team who's garbage. Like, please let me know if he is. I really, really like Mishina. I do think she does a lot of the, like, performing on their end. Like, it goes without saying their short program is fucking insane and we're not going to talk about it. I just think she's very charming. I saw them at IDF in 2019 and she just has a very nice presence. She just looks nice, which is a lot coming from anyone on that end of the world.
Yeah, and bystanders are coached by a homophobe and they did less well than they were supposed to. And I think that that's what being homophobic and transphobic will do for you, is it will make you worse at your job.
Well, yeah, there you go. Especially in a field where we have, like, several beautiful queer athletes doing their stuff.
Accurate. Honorable mentions, the Brezhina siblings.
Oh my god, as of time of recording, Mick Brezhina has retired.
Which, like, we were saying, if for some reason the consequence of this doping thing ended up being that, like, all the Russian athletes in figure skating had to pull out, which, like, I have no idea, but, like, if that were to somehow happen, then Mick would qualify for the free skate, but he's already retired, so, like...
It would have been, like, that one... Was it a... What event in the early 2000s? I think it was, like, a world where Stefan did so terribly bad that he, like, was in the stands. And then it turned out he was going to win because everyone sucked.
Oh, yeah. He had already gotten out of costume and then had to go get his medal. It was like, oh, shit.
Yeah, he was, like, out of costume in the stands, sulking.
It was, like, 2005 Worlds or something thereabouts.
It's one of them. I don't know. I was 12 years old. Don't at me. Do you think he would unretire, like, for, like, one last time?
I mean, he's already unretired quite a few times, and so we know it's in his wheelhouse, but the real winner here is, Mick's dad, whose dream was to have his two kids at the Olympics together, and they were. And then the two of the other people on the Czech team were also siblings.
Their dad must be so proud, and also Aleska has been doing her, like, best skating of all time.
It's true. She's, like, such an icon and always does I love her Sweet Dreams because it has, like, 17 different versions in it. And it's, like, why would you pick one cover when you could
do
just...
Do all of them.
Just not pick one and just go with all of them.
I know I tweet that every time, but you just know a bitch means business when she dyes her hair red and starts doing a Sweet Dreams program.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, the one thing.
In life.
Yeah. You were talking about red hair.
Oh, yeah, I was saying I might want to dye my hair red soon, so maybe I have to learn how to skate well enough to do a Sweet Dreams program.
I mean, you can just, like, do swizzle to Sweet Dreams. Sweet swizzles.
I want to talk about, Georgia because, the only reason they were there is because of Morrissey. I mean, actually, I love Gubanova. I stan Gubanova.
Gubanova is fun. She's very
good. She's fucking great. And I believe she's... Is it her or Shabatova, the one who was, like, talking about the doping?
I'm pretty sure it's Gubanova.
Let's, like, double check this real quick. But I believe she was the girl who...
It's a great day to be an Anastasia in figure skating, I think.
No, it's Shabatova.
Is it?
Yeah.
Good for her.
Shabatova of the Ukraine, former coach. Actually, it doesn't look like she was ever...
I think Shabatova's always been.
So then who am I? Who was the one?
Maybe it's another Anastasia.
I don't know. Whatever. Sorry. This is, like, the kind of shit we usually edit out, but you get to be really seeing how the sausage is made. But it was one of the former Russian girls who had then given that infamous interview about, like, taking your medicine, haha, and then mysteriously had to fucking change countries. but anyway, Gubanova is great, and we do stan Gubanova. But Morrissey had one of the most confusing skates in one of the most chaotic careers in history.
Yeah, I... We said that, like, in the primer. You never know if he's gonna be, like, the best of the best or he's gonna just, like, be completely off the rails. And the thing is, I don't know he knows either until he starts skating.
Yeah, I think the best thing that we could say about him would be, has been said already by Javi, who, in his Spanish commentary, just said, artisticamente, no.
Yeah, we turned it on because we turned on the Spanish commentary. We went back to, like, listen to it because we heard that Javi was like, oh, he got me. He almost got me with the, like...
Salto.
The toe loop, wink, wink. But then we got to be treated to artisticamente.
No.
Which, is valid. I mean, there's only so much your, like, team shit can carry you. What I will say while I'm shit-talking my Georgian boyfriend, we might be breaking up. I think we're breaking up.
Yeah, it might be time.
Yeah, it might be time. It's been, like, 3 years. It's been lovely. But if I were his federation, if I were the Georgian Olympic Committee, who is sending this boy, who's, like, making history for them, I would be so fucking pissed that he's not even pretending to not just hang out with his Russian friends all the time. Like, yeah. He's, like, in their kiss and cries, like, not literally, but, like, behind. Like, he's, like, posting pictures of them. He's, like, with them. And if I were his country, I'd be like, hey, what are you doing?
Yeah, I don't even know, like, from borders and nations in general, but, like, yeah.
If I were his teammate, like, not even, like, borders and nations-wise, but if I were just, like, his teammate who's, like, trying to win things with him, I'd be like, yo, buddy. Like, we're a team.
Yeah. Yeah, it's rough. I think the last thing, speaking of borders and nations, that we should talk about is Team China.
Yes.
Which, first of all, so good to see Bo-Yang back. So good to see Bo-Yang doing, I mean, if not perfectly, then, like, really, really, really good and being happy and confident. Like, just incredible. The man is so man.
He is truly so man. One day we'll do the oral history of this one phrase that we keep repeating.
We'll have to do it on Maine. I think doing it on Patreon is a waste. But he is so man. And we wanted to talk about Ju Yi, who is, I guess, like, originally from America, but is competing for China. And she had a bad time and people were giving her shit, especially in China. Like, she fell and she's a national disgrace. And then people in America were like, why did... Like, that fucking one senator who was like, why would you go to the Olympics and then decide not to represent America and decide... I'm like, how do you fucking think this works, my
dude? It's part of Border Patrol. Like, as you're entering the country, they make you, like, draw from a hat to, like, decide which country you're going to represent.
Yeah, like, you spin a wheel and, like, it's just to keep everyone on their toes. No, it was fucking stupid. And honestly, like, how on earth is it... We were saying at dinner last night that, like, how on earth is it possible that... That China is, like, is it the biggest country? It is, right? Or is
it's
Russia?
It's one of the biggest.
It's one of the biggest countries in the world. And so presumably they have a lot of women. And they have to then be like, oh, where our women's figure skating program is so shitty that we can't find a good one. So we have to take one from America and then blame her for all of our problems for being American. Like, how about you just, like, invest in your single skaters, China?
Yeah. That's, like, the one, I guess, benefit of, or, like, the point of the team event is you really clearly see, even in qualifying countries, like, where their weaker spots are, because you have stuff like Georgia making it predominantly because Morrissey, like, had very good world standings last year, so now they have to have, like, a full team. You really, really see where people's or, like, federation's foci have been.
Yeah, and I think too, narratively for normies, like, I think that she was ultimately kind of a victim of this assumption that people make that, like, the host nation is going to have really strong athletes in the most popular iconic sports. And I think among figure skating, for most people, it's women's singles is the one that is, like, the, like, pinnacle that, like, normies watch. And I think the assumption would be that, like, the host nation would just naturally have, like, a fantastic female single skater. And the truth is that even at her best, she's not, like, top 10, you know?
Yeah.
Which is not, like, shade against her. It's just a matter of, like, technical content.
Yeah, and I think she would agree with that. And also, I think she looked gorgeous and she did really fucking well.
Yeah, so. She looked stunning. The costumes, oh my God.
She's beautiful. And honestly, she should be so fucking proud of herself because she got to represent her country at a home Olympics. Like, that should be enough.
Yeah, and Bo-Yang was so nice, like, defending her and, like, going out of his way to, like, be nice to her. She did her best and blah, 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 and we've all been there. So
just truly so man.
So man. So that's the team event.
That is the team event. As of right now, I was so hoping we would have news while we're recording. We haven't had news.
We haven't. We can talk about, I guess, we... Okay, so before we started recording, I said, Netta, we have to watch the Vince and Joe video because if we go on air... And we talk about him, but we haven't watched the video. It's, like, not really fair. Like, we have to hear his point of view. And so we watched the Vince and Joe video, all 5 minutes of it. I feel bad for anyone who goes to the Olympics, gets COVID, and then can't compete. Like, that's fucking terrible.
Devastating.
It's devastating. There's no way that I would never, you know. So we're not, even though he's like, we are very famously like, oh, we're not Vincent fans, whatever. Like, I don't want anybody to think that we're sitting around like, ha, 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 ha.
Yeah, no, we're normal people who have some semblance of compassion, as also like as someone who's had COVID, it fucking sucks. Like, I would not wish that on anyone. And it like sucks he made the trip and was excited and all of that. His video is very sad. He's clearly upset. It's also a very unhinged piece of media.
Yeah, like there's a lot of things about it that like in the name of just being a person with taste and a heart, I won't like go through and roast. But oh, like yeah. There were certain things he said in there that I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? And my honest to God opinion about this video is that he should have made it and then kept it for himself. Like, I'm not saying don't post it. It's his choice, obviously. But I think it felt really, really vulnerable and personal and, like, something that he needed to make for him. And so it felt, like, voyeuristic to watch as a person who wasn't Vincent Joe.
Yeah, I would have been fine with him just doing the, like, first minute of it. Like, hey, I'm sick. Here's what's happening. I'm very sad. And the rest of it can just be, like, a personal document.
I think I'm saying this from a point of view of, like, I guess secondhand embarrassment. Because I have been in that position of, like, being really, really emotional and wanting to, like, be really public about it. And then kind of being like, okay, take a step back. Do you want everyone to know this when you wake up in the morning and you feel better? You know?
Yeah.
But whatever. You know, I think there's been a lot of... I think that the response to it has been good. I think, like... people have been like, oh, he suffers from depression and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yes, that's good that we're taking it seriously. I wish we could take it seriously for like everyone and not just like Vincent Joe one time. But that's fine.
Yeah.
Any mental health consideration is good. And he might be a gold medalist. So
that would be insane. The two, like, I'm not going to cross over into individual men's events because we're going to do that separately. And also one of them is happening tonight. But the two most insane domino effect things of this entire situation, if medals change, would be that he would get to be a gold medalist from his hotel room while he's in isolation. And that Roman, who's been having arguably the worst time out of everyone at the Olympics, will be a medalist.
Yeah. And
I would be delighted for both of those. That's fun.
Yeah, you could be like, oh, that shows the system is broken. No, it shows the system is about as chaotic as I want it to be.
Yeah, I feel like this is what I those are the moments where I'm like, this is why the event has to happen. Like, we could have sat down and predicted sort of what's going to happen at each event, but having it happen in real life and seeing like all of the like human factors of like just like the chaos of it is good.
It's very good. Yeah, we kind of went on this long rant around U.S. nationals, I believe, about the opinion of like, well, we all knew what was going to happen. Why even hold the event? And it's like, okay, yes, COVID protocols factor in there. I completely understand that. But I really hate that attitude in general of like, this could have been an email. And one of our other like refrains in the studio hotel room has been like, this is why the Olympics can't be an email.
Yeah, there is just so much has been happening. I'm going to go back to fucking speed skating for half a second today. And one of the qualifications for, I think, like the quarterfinal in the women's something or other. I'm not a speed skating expert, but there was this one girl who was like leading like a lot, so solid, and she was like this close to like just like making it, and then she like tripped and fell and was out of it like this. And I'm sure that like her and her team wouldn't have predicted that. Like, everyone is so sure that she was like gonna like medal, and then it was like, never mind, she fell.
Yeah, that's, sports aren't auto chess. Like, you need to have them and see what happens. And to that end, I do think we need to talk just a tiny bit about Yuzu, because it's news, it's breaking news, it's happening.
It is. We don't know what's going to happen tonight. So all of this is happening in like the limbo between the short program and the free skate.
But I think that what's interesting about it is he looked at the ice afterwards. He said there was a divot in the ice and that's why he popped his cell. And I believe it. I mean, I don't think he would like lie about that. I think that's totally true. I think that the thing that's been really funny to me is the response to it of the people who are, first of all, a lot of his fans are acting as though he died.
Yeah, we worship at his altar in the studio. I want the man to have the best in the world of everything. I would be delighted if he had his three time OGM, which at this point, like, a lot has to happen for that to happen, even if he does podium. But I woke up the morning after that to, like, fucking in the arms of an angel, like, slow-mo videos of, like, his career. And it's like, this is morbid. And also, I'm saying this from a hotel room full of people with mental health things. You need fucking help if this is, like, how much this is affecting you. And I'm saying this as a person who has been the person who's, like, this affected by just media things.
Yeah.
My goodness, go outside. Like, look through your window. Remember that he's fine.
Yeah, it's outrageous and, like...
It's morbid. Like, it would make me feel bad. It would, like, it feels like that chapter in Tom Sawyer where he goes to see his own funeral. Like... Worst things have happened.
It's very, like, okay, let's say... A lot of it is coming from a place of trying to comfort him, which, first of all, he's not looking at your fucking Twitter, Beverly. And, like, second of all...
Sorry.
It's fine. I'm glad I made you laugh. And we'll deal with the audio repercussions later, but...
I remember to turn around.
Yeah. I also would like to say that, can you fucking imagine that you had, like, a friend. Just, and I know that's hard for you to imagine, but imagine you had a friend.
Why are you roasting our friends on Patreon?
I don't know. It just comes out of me sometimes. So imagine you had a friend who had something kind of bad happen to them. Like, they got...
They lost their car keys.
Yeah, or they got, like, second in pub trivia, which is on our minds because we played Pubia. We played Pubia the other day.
And we weren't even in the top three. That's fine.
Yeah, so let's say you have a friend who came in fourth in pub trivia. And you do, because we did.
Where's our fucking fan cams of us being so very smart?
Well, right. Like, you go to their house, and, like, they didn't even really say anything to you about it, but you heard through the grapevine, and you bring flowers, and you're crying, and you're like, I am so sorry, but you need to know that you are a champion. What you have given to pub trivia, and it's like... It's like this weird assumption.
Megan, you know what it would be? I'm sorry to interrupt. It would be like we tell the people that we lost in pub trivia and they find pictures from our master's degree graduation to remind us that we're smart.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it is. And it's like this weird, like...
It would be like us with our, like, little hoods and caps and gowns and our, like, green folders from our, like, from our alma mater. Like, hey, remember when you were smart and beautiful? It's okay that you didn't do fine in, like, Monday... trivia
right.
In Germany.
I think what we're trying to say here is that assuming that someone needs comfort and then giving a huge amount of comfort without having, like, sussed out whether that is the case or not is actually, like, kind of an insult. It reminds me of that, like, obviously, like, I know most stand-up comedians are actually, like, horrible human beings, and so this is not an endorsement of any particular stand-up comedian, but there is I think it's Sarah Silverman, maybe, it might not even be her, but there's somebody who has this bit that's like, it's creepy if somebody out of nowhere with no context says, I didn't read your diary.
Yeah.
It's like...
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that... I'm reminded of that joke, which is like the easiest way to fuck with someone's mind is to, like, approach them at a public event and be like, well, I'm very glad that you're here.
Mm. Yeah, like, it's innocuous, but it's weird. And so that has been weird. Also, I will tell you my favorite responses to it, which are not even that. One of them was somebody quote tweeted a transcription of Nathan at the press conference, which, go do your laundry, Nathan. Nathan at the press conference of the men's short saying, you know, it can happen to anybody, blah, blah, blah. And then somebody was like, why did you make the divot in the ice then? He skated after him.
That, okay, that is bringing me back to, like, the Mariah incident a couple years back. People who are moving very fast are not smart enough to be doing this sort of calculations, regardless of who they are.
But regardless also of... If that was possible, Nathan skated after Yuzu by quite a lot.
Well, Megan, have you considered that he could have time traveled? He could have paid someone before Yuzu to make the divot?
They were not even in the same warm-up group, so it could not have physically possibly happened.
No, he paid someone who skated before Yuzu.
there we go. Money exchanged hands. But we all know that doesn't happen in figure skating. My number one favorite unhinged take about Yuzu was the person who responded to the, oh my gosh, we have to reconsider all of these Russian things with, let Yuzu redo the short
program. I saw that. I saw that and I was like, would you be saying the same thing if it were anyone else?
I think it was a joke, honestly, in which case I think it's funny.
Yeah, I don't know. At this point, I don't know if it's a joke.
It's one of those things where I think a lot of being on figure skating Twitter is like, you see something and you're like, if this is a joke, it's hilarious. And if it's not, I want to like bash my head against a wall and we will never know.
Yeah.
Because it could very equally likely be either.
It's like the one time I've like really appreciated using tone indicators is like, please let me know because I want to laugh with you and not at you. My God.
I know. But anyway, so that was that. Also, like people were giving death threats to poor Russian Mark or whoever. No, Semenyenko, who placed above Yuzu. And it's like, what the fuck?
Yeah. And the last thing. Yeah. Just be better. Be smarter than this.
You can be mad if somebody... If it's a situation of like, oh, the very subjective part of the sport got it wrong. Like, we do that all the time. But a man did one, like, wasn't...
Mathematically,
is one third of his jumps were invalid of Yuzu.
So and he's still, like, almost, like, he was at 95-something. Like, that's still historic. No one else would have that score with a singles outcome. Like, no one else in the world.
Yeah, so... It's like, it's this thing that I've actually only kind of seen Yuzu stands do, where they take the logic of, like, this sport is too subjective and apply it to situations where actually one of the few objective mathematical things about the sport is at play.
Yeah, like, for once, it makes sense and you're trying to be mad about it. Last thing I will say about that whole thing is that people who are continuing to try to make this narrative where Nathan is like this like gloating jock who's like walking around like pounding his own chest being proud about like what's happening, fucking like what internet are you on? Because like all he did in the press conference was like, oh, I'm not counting him out, he's the greatest of all time, I have laundry to do, and people are like, oh my god, he's so full of himself. Like what do you want him to say?
Nothing. There's nothing he could say. It's fine. It's just like, we have bad internet brain right now. And so does everyone else in the world. But that's part of the joy of the Olympics. And that's where we're at right now. I think that's kind of the place where we are at as of 3:46 p.m. on Wednesday, February 9th. The men's free skate is tonight.
It is in some sort of hours. In like 9 hours or so, it will be happening. Lord help us.
Yeah, so we just wanted to sort of babble on mic and give you our, like, raw, unfiltered opinions of where we're at now. And thank you for hanging out with us.
Thank you for hanging out with us. Thank you for making this possible, like, quite literally for us. If you happen to listen before the men's freescape, let us know. Patreon has comments. Do you know that Patreon has comments? You can just drop us a nice little message. We would very much enjoy that. And if this is your first Patreon episode, because we do have new friends... Welcome. It's usually more structured than this.
Yeah, basically we usually do one a month, if not a few more, but we skipped January because we knew we were going to be doing 1,000 in February, and that is the case. We will have at least one or two more of these coming at you this month, and I hope you guys enjoy them.
Enjoy our stuff. Enjoy what's left of the individual events. We have more men, we have women, we have the rest of it. We have pairs and ice dance coming. And stay safe, stay sane, and we will see you on Twitter, we'll see you on here, you know where to find us. Stay safe, love you, bye.
Bye, guys!